97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome into the Annie Fry Show. It's great to be with you today. Broadcasting live from the Ruler Foods in St. Charles. And the diapers are starting to pile up. And we need you to make a big old heaping pile of diapers here as we are out here in solidarity with our friend Princess Storm from Hot 104.1, who this is her fourth annual diaper drive. And we, 4 years ago, or 3 years ago, I guess, this is our third time being a part of this. 3 years ago, D to the C came to us and said, you need to get with Princess Storm. You need to help. You guys need to work together. And we started working together, and it was just so obvious that we would come together to do this. And we've been in St. Charles at the Ruler Foods here, which is where we're broadcasting right now, until 3 p.m. And we encourage you to come out and, as I said, make an obnoxious pile of diapers that we can hand over to the St. Louis Area Diaper Bank. But you also need to know that you can donate online, too, if you can't quite make it out here. Princess Storm does have a place where you can go donate. And I've got it in the description of today's YouTube broadcast. We're also going to tweet it out from our Twitter accounts. Right now, she's got $50 towards her $5,000 goal. And I just kind of want to brag a little bit on the 97.1 audience. And I haven't talked to her about this yet. But I thought, Brad and Ryan, that maybe we could really get that $50 of what she's got raised so far, of the $5,000 goal, that we could maybe do something real special for her. Because she's going to come broadcast here. Mm-hmm. Her show on Hot 104.1 after we get done. Is that right?
Yeah, immediately following our show, she's going to be on here broadcasting her show on Hot 104.1. So, like, if you're an Annie Fry Show listener, after we're done here, go ahead and flip it over and listen to Storm's show and see what she has to say and what she's doing. But, yeah, like Annie said, maybe we can do something pretty awesome for her.
So the goal is $5,000 raised. The diaper table is over there, and there is room for diapers. So we want to make sure that you come out to the Ruler Foods in St. Charles, and let's do this and do it in a big way for Princess Storm. Our YouTube live chat poll for today is one that I think, I don't know how resounding it's going to be, but the question is, have you felt the financial pain of higher prices? I think that everybody's feeling it. Diapers are absolutely a part of that. Here's a grocery store owner talking about
the best crew in the world.
So how do you do against the big stores? How do you do?
You know, I'm very proud because every year we've been up, except for the last 3 years because of this inflation.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you said.
The
prices are up, but our sales are down. So we've had to get super creative in how we use our space.
Prices go up and yet your sales are down.
Yeah. So it's been brutal just to try to. Thankfully, I have a great crew, great staff. My family.
How long has this been open?
We've been business 25 years.
Wow.
So we bought this store where you're standing. There's been a grocery store since 1929.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So prices are up and profit is down, and you go to the grocery store and you're filling your cart, and you realize you can't fill the cart the way you used to. There are lots of stories, and these aren't in, like, political places. And I think that this is where you can really tell, like, what is actually going on right now with our economy, with how everyday Americans who aren't thinking about one way or the other, they're not, like, every day waking up thinking about Donald Trump. There's some of those people, but most of the people aren't like that. And what we're finding is you see stories out there that talk about something that is commonly now being seen at places where you do self-checkout. Have you seen these stories where people are leaving things behind at the checkout, the self-checkout?
Oh, because they can't afford it.
They see the number ticking up. They see the number ticking up. They know they have $50 to spend. They've got their cart full of what they need, and they got $80 worth of stuff, and they got to figure out which 30 they're not going to spend. I think that's something that you don't need to be somebody who is, you know, considered low income right now to have to be making decisions. That's where we're seeing these price hikes really affecting people.
I hate to say it, the reason I've noticed this so much is a little bit selfish, because what happens is you end up sitting in the line waiting to check out at a grocery store, and multiple times, this isn't like a one-time thing, multiple times I've been behind somebody who's saying, okay, I have this amount of money. They weren't able to do the math while they were in the store. They're just at the checkout. And they're saying, okay, what am I at now? Oh, I'm at 80. Okay, then I can add this. Okay, what am I at now? Okay, I'm at 90. So it makes you take longer in line, but it's because I've never seen people do that, at least not nearly as much, before 2020, where now that's common. I've seen it many, many times.
Well, there's people doing it too while you're shopping in the aisles at the grocery store.
Yeah, yeah.
You're tallying it up. In our house, my husband's the one who does the grocery shopping, and if I have to run to the store, it's like, oh, Annie, go pick up such and such on your way home, which is
tortillas,
fiber tortillas,
yeah,
which is not a common thing. He's usually the one going to do the grocery shopping. When I come home and I have purchased things, she's like, oh my gosh, you bought those? And I'm like, I don't know. I walked in and I bought the thing that I thought we needed, because he knows the price of this versus that. And you got robbed because you bought the wrong thing. It's very much so an exercise in making sure that you are very well studied on different things and what they cost, and how to make sure that you stretch your dollar the furthest. This is a Hispanic business owner who's talking about how prices have increased over time.
So it's really crazy how much it's increased, and especially in niche businesses or, you know, things in auto parts and things like that. I mean, some things we're seeing double and triple the price, and, you know, it's really hard to make any money like that. And I would just say to, Harris and the Biden-Harris administration, if you had all these great ideas, why haven't you done it?
Right.
Republicans are pretty pro a small business, so I'm sure you could get something done if they're actually good ideas, but
right.
Looks like she's just waiting to, you know, try to get elected, I guess.
You know, I think about what Kamala Harris has talked about when it comes to grocery prices, and what she talks about is going after the people who are price gouging. The price gouging is not what is happening in these grocery stores. Price gouging is not what this is not just the big, scary business owner coming to try to take you for everything that they can. We've heard lots of specifically grocery store owners talking about how they're making less money, if not even not turning a profit, in ways that they've never experienced before in their existence. The Kamala Harris solution to that is to go after the business owners, not the things like jacking up crazily the price of energy. When you'd say that we have to import all of our energy and you shut down the understanding of American energy, you make everything cost more. That's not her concern. Her concern is making it seem like the problem with pricing is the people who are putting the price on the tag. That's not an educated understanding of economics. And you just got to go talk to the grocery store owners to understand that.
Yeah, and there are things that grocery stores, they know that you think about the prices of those things the most. Milk is one of them. Bananas are another. And there are a few items like that everybody kind of keep. Gas is one of them. Not that that's always at gas, that's grocery stores, but some grocery stores have gas. They know that you mark that in your head as kind of an indicator of where things are at. So I know for a fact that some of the bigger grocery stores have had to start sourcing farms, like almost owning farms, to keep the milk prices low, because that at least makes you think, oh, well, at least that hasn't gone up as much. But if you notice, bananas have gone up.
Yeah.
Some of the things that they don't have full control over, all the prices have risen. So it's, like Annie was saying, the margins are so much slimmer now because they have to keep all these things so much more in mind, because you're keeping it more in mind, that they want you to shop there, so they have to win you over.
Well, the thing, like to Annie's point about the energy, the reason she is attacking price gouging is A, she needs a boogeyman to go after, but B, it's because if she would actually attack the things that are actually causing energy prices to go up and stuff like that, she would have to go back on some very core issues for Democrats, her base. Her base isn't moderates. Her base is the very far left. And what their core issues are things like the Green New Deal, climate change, all of that other stuff. So that's why she's going back and forth and waffling on fracking, because she doesn't want to make those people mad. But she also knows that she needs to win Pennsylvania, which fracking's really important to them. And if you can't attack the energy, you're never going to drive grocery prices down. You're never going to, because A, you got to turn the lights on at a grocery store. You got to run the refrigerators. You've got to get the food to the place. You've got to fuel the tractors that grow the food. You've got to fuel the machines at the farms that milk the cows. There's so much of this that all goes back to energy, and nobody will actually address that outside of Donald Trump.
Scott Jennings on CNN was talking about the economy and between these two candidates, who's likely going to address
it. I do think there's a reason that in our own CNN poll today, 51% of Americans said they judged Trump's
term to be a success, and only 37% have judged the Biden-Harris administration to be a success. There is something going on where people are remembering what he did, how he did it, and they're comparing it to what's happening right now. So you can cherry pick these individual statements or policies, but if you look at the comparative and you look at our own polling, you realize he's hit upon an economic vein that is working for him in this election.
Yeah. Hitting on the economy, that's something that is understood by the American people, whether they are actively participating in the political process or not. We're about 41 days from the election. And when we are, when we're thinking about this candidate versus the other candidate, or do I even take the time to show up to vote? The economy is what drives people to go, yeah, I'm kind of sick of the way that this is going. I'm kind of sick and tired of having to, you know, I'm making money. I feel like I'm making more money than I have before. Why is it that this money isn't stretching the way that it's supposed to? You know, something too that I see this often from our lefty friends on our YouTube chat. I'll hear this from lefty commentators. They'll start talking about things that exist just outside of the most basic needs. Like if you can afford something that is more than bread and butter, then, you know, the economy can't be too bad. But this is a perfect example, and I love it when the lefties come out of the woodwork to say things like this. If you want to buy, you know, a nicer car than you had before, if you want to buy a home that has the nice things in it that you've always dreamt of and you're working your butt off in order to acquire, if you want to take a vacation with your family because you've been working your tail off in order to afford it, if you want to provide a parochial education because you don't want your children to be in the public school system because they prioritize things that aren't what you prioritize in your home, and you believe in raising your children the way you want to raise them and not having them be turned over to other people to raise them, and you can afford that extra tuition. These lefties, they love to come out of the woodwork, and they love to tell you, like, the economy must not be too bad. You can afford the tuition to send your kids to a private parochial charter school. The economy must not be too bad. You were able to go take that vacation. The economy must not be too bad. You look like you just bought a new car. They have no idea what you've been doing to prepare for that opportunity to spend your hard-earned money the way you want to spend your hard-earned money. And from the outside looking in, they think that because you have something that may bring you some sort of general pleasure on top of just basic necessity, that indicates that you have enough. That, my friends, is socialism. That's where you have other people looking into your life and saying, no, you've done enough. I'm going to need you to keep working hard, but there's somebody over there that doesn't have enough. And so what we're going to do, you keep working your tail off, and that money that you spent on that vacation that was 10 days, that would have been good at 3 days. We're going to take that money and we're going to ship it on down the line to somebody else who's going to be able to use it for things that we deem to be valuable and necessary. But who gets to be the arbiter of that? Who gets to be the decision maker in that? Who gets to decide how your hard-earned money is spent? It should be you. It should be the person who's taking the time away from their family to create a service, to create a product, to create a business that employs other people. You should be able to enjoy that. And in the America that I know, in the America that I love, I want to see an America where the harder you work your butt off, the more you get to enjoy life the way you want to enjoy life. And when you do become prosperous, when you do find yourself in a position where you have an extra dollar to spare, you get to choose what to do with it. You get to choose to spend it on a vacation. You get to choose to spend it on a package of diapers down at Ruler Foods in St. Charles and say, I see a need and my dollar can help that person. But you get to choose to do that. Whenever these lefties come out and they want to look at your life and they want to point at your life and they want to judge you for the decisions you made in your life, those very unhappy people need people to be unhappy. And I mean, it's kind of repulsive to me to want to surround myself with people who want to monitor how I manage my success or how you manage your success. The most charitable giving people that I've met in my life have a lot of money, and they give a lot of money away, and they give it directly to the places and the people they know they can impact the most. The idea that you would vote left so that you can help more people is the laziest way to invoke charity that I can think of. Let's hand our money over to the government and let them sort it out. And then you get this cheap sort of virtue that you get to celebrate because of it. That's not what American capitalism is, because American capitalism creates prosperity, and prosperity allows us to be generous and helpful to other people. It's all part of the process, and you just don't need government to insert itself where they get fat off of your dollar in the process. We just don't need that. The economy, we're sitting in a grocery store right now in Ruler Foods in St. Charles. The economy is hurting people of every income level right now, and it is going to be a paramount issue in this election. I think it's going to be the biggest issue in this election. And that's saying something, because there are a lot of big issues in this election.
Yeah, even if Donald Trump has a debate performance that you say, eh, you know, I didn't really think he did that great at that debate, or whatever it is, he has 4 years under his belt of what an economy looks like from somebody who has run businesses and understands money, knows the language of money. And I can't say that of Joe Biden. I can say that even less of Kamala Harris. You know, I just don't see that these people have ever, I don't know that they've ever really worked in the private sector at all. So I think it's the easiest case in the world to make to a voter to say, which one do you think is better? Which one do you think is better? That's all you have to do.
Well, we want you to go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel today. Right now, we're broadcasting live from Ruler Foods in St. Charles. We're out here waiting for you to come say hi with a package of diapers or seven. We'll take whatever you bring. I've got $30 in my pocket right now that people have brought by, Ryan, for you to supermarket sweep Ruler Foods and buy diapers at the end of this show.
Well, that's always my favorite part.
It is. That's why Ryan agrees to come and do this with us. We're so grateful to Ruler Foods that is sponsoring this diaper drive with Princess Storm and Hot 104.1. Two Men in a Truck is here to help us cart these diapers off after we are done with the diaper drive today. So go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote in that YouTube live chat poll. The question is, have you felt the financial pain of higher prices? Yes or no? We want to know what you think. Leave a comment. And in the description of today's YouTube video, you will also see the link where you can donate cash directly to this cause. Let's take a quick break. We're broadcasting live from the St. Charles Ruler Foods for the fourth annual Princess Storm Diaper Drive, where we say, yep, we got some 97.1 friends and family out there who want to help. Can't wait to see you today. We're out here noon to 3. We'll be right back.
Kamala Harris appears to have momentum. I think the polls say she does, but they also say she doesn't. I don't know. A slate of new polls have been rolling out over the last few days. The Morning Consult says Harris got a big bump from the debate, out to a 6-point lead, whereas the New York Times Siena College poll says she did not get a big bump. The race is tied, though that same poll says that while Trump and Harris are tied nationally, she's up 4 points in Pennsylvania, which is a key swing state that could decide the election. But there's bad news, too, because the Washington Post says she and Trump are tied in Pennsylvania, though another poll from Franklin and Marshall College came out today has Kamala up by 3 in Pennsylvania, whereas Emerson has her down by a point in Pennsylvania. In other words, none of these polls mean anything at all.
So there you have it. Jimmy Kimmel, spot on once again, really, really nailing it on the polls.
You always agree with Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel says,
so
you're like,
right.
Well, there it is. That's gospel.
I completely agree, but also I will tell you that if Jimmy Kimmel is on the air telling people that polls don't matter, it's not good for Kamala.
That's a fact.
That is a fact.
Yeah, that's a fact.
That's what, if the polls are good for Kamala, those would be Trump jokes.
He's citing a poll too. I'm sorry, I have to say this. He's citing a poll, and I think it was Morning Consult. I can't remember exactly which one that had Trump and Harris tied nationally, but Harris up 4 in Pennsylvania. That makes zero sense, even if you're in the poll. Yeah. Like that's not going to happen, no matter which way you cut this thing. So. He is right in a sense that some of those polls that he cited are stupid.
Which ones? The ones you don't like?
The ones I don't like.
Yeah. Yes, see, there you go.
That's fair.
That's all I got to say about that.
That's what it is.
The power rankings are out at Fox News, and I don't love – I mean, it's funny to me that it's like if you say, oh, a Fox News poll, there's a whole 50% of the country who's like, it's Fox News poll. And then there's the other 50% where, 20% of them are like, it's a poll, Ryan, poll. It's like, hey, you can pick and choose and slice and dice however you want it. But the big thing that come out, and this is something that's not being talked about in many places at all. Everyone's talking about Trump and Harris, but the Senate – the Senate is a really big deal. And leading into this election, we knew that it would be a very favorable map for the Republican side. And right now, Fox News poll is saying that they're projecting a 51 Republican seat majority for Republicans, which would be quite something. The Democrats have had control since they took control in 2020, because that's what Georgia was about.
Yeah. Yep, that's when they got it.
And I never want to miss the opportunity to remind people that the Georgia special election that took place, where they had two Republican candidates who probably should have won that race, it went to that stupid runoff. Do you remember the date of the Georgia runoff where the majority of the Senate swung from Republican over to Democrat? I will remind you, it was January 5th of 2021, which occurred right before, my math indicates, January 6th of 2021, which I think is very indicative of how tensions were flying very high and people were feeling a certain type of way leading into that January 6th day. So the Fox News Power Rankings has Harris ticking up a bit and Senate Republicans taking charge. That's going to be an interesting thing. And I will tell you this, if Kamala Harris wins the presidency and the Senate is Republican, I breathe a sigh of relief. When we were yeah. walking into January 6th, which the reason January 6th is January 6th is because that's when the certification of the election was supposed to happen. That's when Congress would come together and certify the election. So January 6th was an important day before the podium guy. And what was the shaman?
Oh, yeah, the January 6th shaman.
QAnon shaman,
yeah,
or whatever
it
was.
That's right, a QAnon shaman.
I mean, like, these such weird political things happen on January 6th. We still have a lot of questions about it. People still accuse Donald Trump of being an insurrectionist, although he's never actually been charged of being an insurrectionist of in any way, shape, or form. And that is something that can be charged, and it hasn't been. The understanding that January 6th was the day that the election was supposed to be certified, where you stamp it and you say, it's official, it's done. There is a congressional constitutional way to go through the process of saying, I'd like to challenge this election. Because people decided to take over the Capitol, that never happened. So the actual stopping of the democratic process there actually occurred because people went into the Capitol and threw the whole thing into chaos. So we never got to the point where Congress went, no, we're certifying this election, Donald Trump, sit down. Or, no, we're really going to challenge this, which I still think would have likely resulted in Joe Biden is still the president. It would have been very nice if that process would have been able to fulfill itself so that we would have a conclusion to it. Instead, we had chaos and so on and so forth. But that Senate going Democrat made Joe Biden's presidency much more intimidating. I'm trying not to use charged language like frightening or scary, but still. The fact that the Democrats were going to have the Senate makes that Democrat presidency that much more powerful. Just like if you're a Republican, you want a Republican Congress. Of course you do. On January 5th, the Senate went Democrat, assuredly Democrat. And I think that people are forgetting right now that should Donald Trump win the presidency, his ability to get things done, to enact his plan, is greatly affected by the majority, of course, in the House of Representatives, but definitely the Senate. And I think that the Senate, it's a huge, this is why the constitutional founding fathers are so brilliant, because when everything is flaming so hot everywhere you go with Harris and Trump, when you find out that the Senate is going to probably go Republican, as somebody who knows that Kamala Harris could absolutely win this election, I calm down a little bit. Causes me to just take a little bit of a breath and go, okay, you know, separation of powers, the party that is going to be in power here isn't going to have a supermajority in any house or whatever, so it's going to slow the gears of government down so that they can't get in there on either side and go crazy making rules and regulations and laws about how you're going to run your life.
The Senate is even more important after comments from Kamala, it was yesterday or the day before, that said that she is going to eliminate the filibuster. She wants to put Roe versus Wade back in. But regardless of the reason that she would do it, you know, this is the party that wants to defend democracy, saying we're going to get rid of some of the institutions that have maintained that democracy. So having Republicans in the lead now you know, going into the election of 2024, 51 is not a lot. 51 to 48 is what we're looking at.
It's better than 49.
Well, Ohio is still undetermined, so it could be 52-48. It could be 51-49. You know, I mean, this
how well
will
does Trump
be...
do in Ohio?
Yes.
That's how well the Senate mm-hmm. will yeah. likely do. Maybe not the case in Maryland, but Governor Hogan in Maryland could. That's Maryland, right?
Yeah.
He could potentially pull off something there.
Yeah, the Maryland, the Democrat candidate has gotten into some scandal with her taxes and taking improper tax breaks. So that has thrown kind of the Maryland race back into
a dead heat. Did she not pay her fair share?
No. Well, yeah, essentially. I mean, it was something to do with she took a tax break that was not like a homesteader tax break, I think is what they called it, that was not supposed to be for, you know, a townhome in the middle of her hometown.
Montana's Senate seat, Tester, who's the incumbent in Montana in the Senate, that race for Sheehy has now moved from a toss-up to a leans Republican, and in an AARP poll, which is just funny. Like, how come we don't have a poll? I mean, we do have a poll, but nobody cites it for anything.
Well, we have a poll every single day.
Well,
come on.
One day, when the Annie Fry Show poll, YouTube live chat poll, gets cited in a Fox News article, we will have made it.
Tomorrow's poll should just be Ohio.
Montana goes from Tester at 45% to Sheehy at 51%. That's now a leans Republican. They have, I think, what is it like? How many people are in Montana? It's like a million. They have like a million people. They've spent $120 million on this Senate campaign.
Man, you got to feel real important.
Think of the diapers that you could buy with $121 million. That's outrageous.
Wow.
Fox News reports sitting among the peaks that shape Montana's landscape is a mountain of cash. Somebody wrote that and paused and smiled. Just kind of took it in like, did you guys see what I did there?
Then they checked their bank account.
Yeah, and then they realized it doesn't have $121 million in it, like the Senate race does. They say over $121 million has been spent by the campaigns and outside groups so far, according to Open Secrets, with at least $100 million more in reserve spending. That's outrageous.
It's crazy.
Montana.
Your money's got to go pretty far, but that's so much that if you're a voter, you got to be just sick of it by now.
Right now, the House rankings, according to Fox News polls, 205 projected Democrat seats, 208 projected Republican seats, neither of which is a majority. You need 218. There are 22 toss-up seats. It'll be interesting to see how much money is spent in those 22 districts and how many people actually are covered by those 22 districts.
Yeah.
With the Senate, the toss-up Senate seats are Nevada and Ohio. Montana now leans Republican. Leaning Democrat, flipping Arizona. Oh, my gosh. Maryland, Michigan, Pennsylvania, which is another one that if Donald Trump goes and trounces in Pennsylvania, you could see, is it Moreno?
In Bernie Pennsylvania.
Moreno. You could see the Republican in Pennsylvania pull that off, Wisconsin as well. I do think that the Donald Trump coattails, in most cases, how well he does in these states is going to make a huge difference in the Senate. Maybe not in a place like Maryland, because Governor Hogan talks crap on Trump all the time. And Donald Trump has been like, that's fine, you can talk crap on me as long as that helps you win. In Maryland,
yeah,
he doesn't care.
He knows.
Yeah, he knows how to play the game. We'll talk a little bit more about these power rankings a little bit later in the show, but we got to hurry because Ryan Wiggins is elbowing me, telling me it's about to be his time in Wiggins America. What are we talking about today? I don't remember.
I feel like we talk about the average man so much that I want to talk about privilege problems.
Average women?
No. Now, we talk about average women almost every day. I want to talk about privilege problems. Like if you're just too rich or you're too hot or you're too whatever.
Did you read about these things or do you just know?
Some of this is personal experience, but there are, you know, very, very brilliant writers discussing this right now. And I sort of want to peek behind the curtain a little bit if you're not one of those
What's
people.
Your source?
CNBC.
Oh, brilliant writers?
And New York Post also.
Okay.
You know, I got a few things.
No, that's all right. Those are actually legit.
Yeah, this isn't a random blog.
I'm not opposed to every once in a while pulling a top 7 list off of a random blog that I find to be interesting conversation fodder. We're going to take a quick break. We'll talk about Ryan's averageness when we come back. Is that what you said?
No.
Oh, that's what I heard.
We got to go to break, so you got to do whatever you need to do.
I'm going to tweet out here in the break the link to donate to Princess Storm's diaper drive. She has a $5,000 goal set, and we have $100 so far. So she started with $50 when we showed up. We've gotten $100 in. We've got diapers. The basket over here is up. Here comes some more diapers. Thank you.
We've been doing a show. We haven't been watching the basket.
No, there's a woman who came out, and she emptied a cart full of diapers into that basket. So come see us at Ruler Foods in St. Charles. We're out here broadcasting live from noon to 3. Princess Storm is broadcasting at Hot 104.1 out in the same place after we're done. We need diapers, and if you can't make it out here, if you got a dollar to spare, I will tweet out on X at Annie Fry Show. It's also in the description of today's YouTube live broadcast where you can donate. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America when we come back.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I was just unloading so many diapers with Ryan Wiggins.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was so great.
So there's still space in the basket, but only because we're going to add baskets.
We're going to add baskets to it. We have, how many boxes was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think he had like 12 to 15 boxes, and they're like big boxes of diapers.
Yeah, these are not small boxes. And he did, now, one of the things that the diaper bank, I think it was Jerrica who was on with us on Monday, said is that they need the bigger diapers more.
And, yes.
You know, I mean, they're used,
you're just
obviously,
in there longer.
Obviously, they'll take any diapers, but the bigger, you know, the fours, the fives, the sixes sizes, mm-hmm. the kids are in those longer, and so they need those more.
It's awesome. Well, it's Wiggins America time, so I don't want to take up your time.
Well, this is very apropos
if
today.
If this were opposite and it was Brad's time, I would make you do the intro.
No. Did we play the intro yet?
We haven't played the intro yet.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins! Hey, there it is. Our old
friend. Are you incapable of performing without that sound?
I'm not incapable, but I am incapable.
That sounds about right.
Cut it. Ethan, cut it. I need that little bit right there.
On it.
The YouTube live chat poll today really goes along well with this. Have you felt the financial pain of higher prices? Yes or no? So this is, from the comments, affecting everybody, and people who are saying, how could you say no to this poll, are really dogging on anybody saying no. So in light of that, I said, why don't we talk about rich people problems?
So, of which I am unfamiliar. I would like to learn about these things.
Yeah, how does that side live, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, in Wiggins America, sometimes you just have to take a different view. You know, everybody's talking about news from New York and L.A. We sometimes park in Boise, and we're like, what's going on here? Is this Wiggins America? I don't know. You know, it's a different point of view. So
I'm
that's
even
what,
more confused now.
You should be.
We're in Boise?
That's what this is today. It's just a different point of view, one that doesn't get brought up enough. This is from CNBC, of all places, and I love that it is. CNBC.
Why, you feel like it's valid? You feel like you did the extra work today.
Problems that rich people face, according to therapists. Now, if the tone of my voice sounds like I'm mocking it, that's not true. I want to go through these with you guys.
Okay.
See that if you agree,
talk slow,
disagree.
So we can understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So problems rich people face. Wealth can bring with it some unconventional problems. More money, more problems, they say. Number one.
Is that how you're mansplaining it to me?
I'm not mansplaining anything. I'm explaining things.
Yeah, you're boysplaining.
Number one, feelings of isolation. These people live in such a rarefied place at the top 1%.
You feel alone with your money?
Where there are very few people.
Gosh, I'm surrounded by so much money, I can't see humans.
Who share the realities of their world. So they're alone. They don't know. They have to be friends with other rich people because nobody gets them.
And how do you know if somebody's rich and worth your time?
Yeah, you got to talk about your net worth basically from day one when you're introducing yourself.
That, what I just said is going to be used against me in a political hit ad one day.
That's
how
all.
Do you know if someone is rich and worth your time?
This is all designed for that.
Yeah.
This whole segment is for op research someday against
Thank you.
You.
I see. Are you going to run against me?
Probably.
I don't know. Maybe. You know, we'll see. If the winds of change are blowing, I might jump on. People tend to see you as lucky and happy, and neither may be true. Just because you have money, wealth can be very isolating. Identify with that, anybody? No.
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 Okay. All right. We'll move on to the next one. Paranoia.
I think it's funny how people say that, like, people may tend to see you as happy. It's like, tone that down a little bit.
I've never seen a sad rich person, have you?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people who are miserably sad and very wealthy.
I was under the understanding ideologically that money equals full happiness. The two are basically the same thing. Number two, paranoia and distrust. Wealth can cause people around the super rich to view them as objects. You don't want to be viewed as an object.
I've heard of this with signing bonuses for athletes. They're very young and they are very much so inundated with money. And then people who are like, "Hey, bud, hey, cuz,"
yeah.
And then you look at everyone looking at you like you're a bank account.
I actually could see this, and especially if you went from nothing to, like, if you won the lottery, suddenly you just had tons of money. This therapist says that clients are often bombarded by a never-ending stream of requests. So all kinds of people suddenly know you, and all of your relatives that you didn't know you had come out of the woodwork. So I could see that happening. It's just not a problem I deal with. CNBC.
Yeah, everybody wants to be around you for your charm.
People just want to be around me for my charm because I make them feel good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, a distorted sense of purpose. And again, the YouTube live chat poll today. Have you felt the financial pain of higher prices? This is in opposition to that poll. This is about rich people. They have a distorted sense of purpose.
Like they think they're too important?
People who became rich as a result of their own achievements have a strong internal focus of control. But conversely, those who suddenly acquire wealth, be it through an inheritance or, let's say, now the article doesn't say this, but let's say some big entity just gives out free money. People tend to not think about that money in the same way as if you earned that money, is what CNBC is saying here. The sudden influx of wealth can often lead to existential identity challenges and strains on relationships. When there's no need to work, where do you get your sense of meaning and purpose and structure? That's what CNBC says. Now, that's rich people problems.
Rich people problems.
Before we get to the end of the hour here, live at Ruler Foods,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk about hot people problems. This is from the New York Post.
Okay.
So
yeah.
This isn't CNBC.
This isn't your diary. Why is this in your handwriting?
No.
This is from you.
It's just a bunch of emojis.
This
is
just
what it
about
is.
Your burden of being too hot.
What a pity to be pretty. Now, the number one thing that gorgeous people say that they have a tough time with is that the physical appearances of hot people say that they get too much unwanted attention. Now, this is definitely something that at least I can identify with. I figured you guys could too, everybody at this table. Thank you very much for these very nice words online. Just let me know. On a scale of 1 to 10, what are you?
You want us to rate ourselves?
Yeah, go ahead.
A 5.
A 5? Really? Brad?
On a scale of,
one to 10.
And we're talking about looks.
Yeah.
Oh, my 4?
Oh, my gosh.
I love
guys.
How he had. If I would have said 4, he'd have said 3.
Well, if
let's rate Ryan.
I can't.
No.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
2.5.
No.
Half 3. A star.
These people say that what they get tired about, and this may be change your outlook a little bit. They get tired of people constantly thinking that they're flirting with other people's spouses because they're just so hot that people assume that even if they're talking, they're flirting. You get this, right? I'm not alone here. I get this all the time. Being attractive enough to get hit on, but when you're not interested, they pick out something to make you feel bad so that they don't feel bad about being rejected. Women in particular say they've met a shocking amount of men who think that they assume automatically that they are hitting on them just by talking to them.
That's enough of that.
Do you
encounter hot people problems or rich people problems more?
Oh, hot people problems. Way more.
You know, you should use that to have rich people problems.
Yeah, you know what? I should.
You're doing this wrong.
I should use my looks to get money.
Broadcasting live from the Ruler Foods in St. Charles on West Clay Street. Could you come out and say hi to us? We would love to see you. Thank you to everybody who's brought diapers out so far. They are mounting up. but there's still room for more. Come see us at the Ruler Foods in St. Charles. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.